Certainly it's a blessing to be with you this evening, and we are very appreciative of your presence. Of course, the proposition has been read in your hearing. It is the Scripture teach that Jesus is the Father, Jesus is the Son, Jesus is the Holy Ghost, and as you know, I am denying that proposition this evening. I'm going to get right into the questions that my opponent has given me tonight. Number one, since you teach that plural pronouns imply plurality of persons, do you also teach that singular pronouns imply singularity of person? If not, why not? Well, they would be used literally, or when they are used literally, the answer to that question would be yes. But the context would determine any exceptions. We cannot just assume and assert these exceptions. We have to prove them again from the context. Number two, in Isaiah 9:6, everlasting Father refers to a deity, B, humanity. In reference to Jesus, I would say both, and I will explain that later on. Number three, in view of Ephesians 4:4, one Spirit is the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Yes. Number four, are the deity of Jesus Christ and the humanity of Jesus Christ two separate and distinct persons? Why, of course not. Mr. Weatherly, I want to tell you, we've been wondering about this. I've been wondering about this. Did you believe that Jesus Christ has two spirits? Now, it sounds like you believe he has a divine spirit and a human spirit. Sounded like that's what you said tonight. Number five, when Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Matthew 27:46. Was the humanity of Christ stripped of the divine nature? Absolutely not. Now, what do you say that that means? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Do you believe in that statement that he was stripped of his divine nature? I will tell you that I believe that your position strips Jesus Christ of the real sacrifice he made at Calvary. So you let us know all about that. I do want to notice several of the things that Mr. Weatherly has mentioned to you this evening. He's used several passages here. He mentions the Lord our God is one Lord. We've been talking about this, number 14, and we talked about the fact that this term echad is the idea of a compound unity, or can be the idea of a compound unity. Mr. Weatherly has already admitted to that it can be used in that way. I believe that passage, Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4, and those passages that reference Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4, do not say that one God or one Lord demands one person. It just doesn't say that. And I am surprised that he had the nerve to go to the idea of the mediation of Christ. Turn over there to 1 Timothy 2:5. He cited Galatians 3, but let's look at 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5. You know, ladies and gentlemen, to be a mediator, you have to equally partake of the nature of both parties that you represent. But he believes the mediator is only human. You have God the Father, the Son is just the human nature, the humanity. According to Mr. Weatherly's position, that would not qualify to be a mediator. Now, he might want to go back and look at that again. He mentioned Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 4 through 6, and of course we have three persons in that context. I want you to turn over to 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 17. I'll tell you before we do that, Don, go to number 33. Go to number 33. Let's talk about God Jehovah. Malachi 2:10, Isaiah 44:6, Isaiah 44:24. All those passages, we agree. Now, last night, can you go to your 62 from last night? You're 62? Hold my time, Sean. Oh, you're on a different file than that, aren't you? Okay, we'll just blank that out. We'll come back. But last night, he mentioned the Holy Quartet, and he was real cute about that, that somehow would have four instead of three. But the fact is, God Jehovah was alone. We agree on that. The Father was not alone. The Son Jesus was not alone. The Holy Spirit was not alone, because the Father is God, the Son is God, the Spirit is God. I asked him, is the Son distinct from the Father, Jehovah? And we're still waiting on an answer to that question. Let's move on here. I do want you, Isaiah 42 was mentioned. Tell you what, go on to 36. Again, when we look at these passages about I by myself stretch forth the heavens and all of that, I agree with that. Jehovah has reference to the Father and to the one who is the Son and to the Holy Spirit because they are divine. But I want you to notice the contrast is not within the Godhead. Mr. Weatherly wants the contrast to be within the Godhead. It's between idols or idolatry and Jehovah God, and that's very clear. Let's back up just a little bit, Don, and illustrate this point if we can. I want you to go to 34, and I want you to notice some of the error in this. Isaiah 42 and verse 8, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory. He cited this last night as well. My glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Now notice this, glory and praise are used synonymously. Another and graven images, well, another's not talking about another person in the Godhead. Another and graven images are used synonymously. Glory is equal to praise. Another is equal to graven images. That's an example of parallelism. 147. Now, his proposition is Jesus is not only the Son, Jesus is the Father, and Jesus is the Spirit. But there are some passages we have noted that have presented a great deal of problem for him on that point. And you can see this. Luke 23:46 tells us that Jesus is not the Father. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. Let's move on. 148. We have John 15 and verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, he told you the Holy Spirit and the Father are the same person. The Spirit of the truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. John 16, 13. Didn't hear much about that one tonight. Heard about it last night. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. Miss Weatherly doesn't like that own authority idea. He said he liked the old King James better, and then said it means source. Now, I don't quite know how that helps him. If the Holy Spirit is not the source, and you say the Holy Spirit is the Father, Mr. Weatherly, how does that work out for you? Who is the source? If the Father and the Spirit are the divinity, who is the source? Because you've already said that's not the source of what was being said. All right, let's move on. Go to 168, if we can. 168. Let's talk about 2 Corinthians 3. If you can, turn your Bibles over there. How much time, Sean? Good. Let's look at 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, and I understand Mr. Weatherly's argument here that the Lord is that Spirit, and his argument is that the Lord is the Holy Spirit, but I think if you'll look at the context, he's really missed the point in that actual statement. I want you to notice this in 2 Corinthians 3. In 2 Corinthians 3, the Spirit refers to Christ's New Testament versus the letter, that is Moses' Old Testament. Now notice in verse 14 with me, if you'll get your Bible open there. In verse 14, we see a contrast between verse 6 and verse 14 between the New Testament and the Old Testament. That's what he's contrasting in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse 6 and verse 6, he mentions the letter and the Spirit. Again, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And then in about verse 15, I believe it is, he talks about Moses being read. Moses being read. Well, it's not literally the person Moses being read. It has reference to the Old Testament. Christ is contrasted with that. That is the law of Christ. And so the word Spirit can be used in some different ways. Now, that's not a new idea. 169. Adam Clark's commentary says the word Spirit evidently signifies the gospel, so-called because it points out the spiritual nature and meaning of the law, because it produces spiritual effects, and because it is especially the dispensation of the Spirit of God. Here Jesus Christ is represented as that Spirit because he is the end of the law for justification to everyone that believes. Barnes says the same thing. If you want us to read the quote, we'll do that later on this evening. He talks about the Holy Spirit being the Spirit of Christ. You have to look at the context of these things. But John 14:26 makes it clear that Jesus sent the Spirit. It makes it clear here in John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. And so those passages are still saying the same thing. The Spirit of Christ can have reference to the Holy Spirit as Christ has sent him. He went to John 17:3. Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize Mr. Weatherly makes the same argument? Now, I know he doesn't accept their doctrine, but he's making the same argument on John 17:3 that a Jehovah's Witness makes. He says, yes, Father is described as God. I don't deny that. He's deity. But because the Father's described as God, does that mean that Jesus Christ, that's the phrase, is that just the human Jesus Christ? Now you told us, no, we don't think Jesus is only human. Is that just the human Jesus Christ? Something you might want to think about. You know, based on that argument though, well, let's back up. 1 Timothy 3:16. He says, that's a misrepresentation that the Son is only human. But then he said that the Son is God manifest in the flesh and God is the Father. So the Son, distinct from the Father, is only human according to his teaching. And by the way, John 1 is not his friend. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. According to Mr. Weatherly, the Word is a plan and an idea which denies the true incarnation of John 1 and verse 14. He mentions 1 John 3. Go to 272. 272, Don. Now, let's notice this. He's saying the Father was manifested to take away our sins. Who died on the cross? The Son of God. Notice, and you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him there is no sin. We'll move on down in that context. The Son of God was manifest. Now that's who we are having reference to. Don, I want you to go to 2:14. Now, Mr. Weatherly, if you're saying that Jesus is deity, I agree with that, of course. But you know, when you cite Colossians 2:9, we'd kind of like to know what exactly you mean. In Colossians 2:9, you said the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth bodily in Him. Do you believe, and this is just a question, write that thing down in your notepad, do you believe that the totality of God was all in that body? Because if you think the Father's up in heaven at the same time, is He diffused through the universe? Is He only in the physical body of Jesus? Or is it the one Godhead, where we have Father and Son and Holy Spirit? You might let us know about that. Isaiah 9:6. Don, I want you to go to chart number 22. First of all, the Son here, He is described as mighty God. He's not only a human. And He describes these other things, but you need to define what we're talking about. 23. The inventor or the originator of an art or mode of life. Jesus is not His own Father and His own Son. That's Mr. Weatherly's position. He's His own Father and His own Son. No, that's nowhere indicated in the context. You know, because one is a father does not mean he is his own father. I want you to write down Hebrews 2, Mr. Weatherly, and deal with this in Hebrews 2. The reason I told you what is prophesied there in Isaiah 9:6 would include the deity and the humanity is because the sense in which He is the Father of children is through redemption that is described in Hebrews, the second chapter. Look at this with me. Hebrews 2:13, behold, I as the Messiah, and the children which God the Father hath given me. So the I here says, I have children. God the Father has given them to me. Now who is that I? Is that only human? When you get to that text, you let us know all about it. Is that only human? Because God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, God even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, we've got two spirits in Jesus. There's just no getting around that. And he thinks the Son is that human spirit. Now, if he doesn't, he needs to deny it and explain it better. Galatians 4:4, God sent forth his Son. John 10:30 is a unity. I and my Father. You think that I was only human? John 14:9. By the way, turn over there to John 14. Turn over there. Mr. Weatherly, this thing can't cut both directions now. Look over here in John 14. In John 14, yes, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Move on down, Don, on those charts. Move on down to 114, 115, right there. Now look at this context. You know, down here he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father, all right, and the Father in me. If the Father in me means the divine spirit's in the body, then what does Mr. Weatherly do with I am in the Father? Then I would be the humanity in the deity. If that one way means deity and humanity, the other would mean the humanity and the deity. This is talking about a relationship. He was carrying out the will of his Father. Look at verse 20. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father. Listen to him. And ye in me and I in you. We're talking about a relationship. All right. You know, in all honesty, what we found out last night, Mr. Weatherly, is that you are an artful dodger. 226. Let me tell you something. Mr. Weatherly has admitted that my argument on Echad is legitimate. He said sometimes it means this and sometimes it means that. But he just didn't like it because it didn't fit his doctrine. He admitted that one humanity does not demand one person, but then he argues that the term Godhead demands one person. He quibbled on John 16:13 regarding the term authority, and then, Mr. Weathers, you turned around and you said that that's source. Now listen. If the Holy Spirit is not speaking of himself, means not from himself, if he's not the source, and you say the Spirit is the Father, and the Father is the Spirit, the only thing I can figure that he has left, Mr. Weatherly, is the humanity of Jesus. Did humanity sin deity? That's what we want to know. And that's absolutely absurd. Now, 227, he then argued that John 16:13 recapitulates John 14:26. Well, that's good because John 14:26 teaches three distinct persons. John 16:13 that we just talked about. Turn over there. Turn your Bible over there. John chapter 16 and verse 13, which he says it was source. Great. Wouldn't that mean the Father and the Holy Spirit are distinct? He says, well, this is just recapitulating. You like that word, recapitulating? Well, let's look over here. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, etc. He made an argument on Hebrews 1:8 and 9 that he said he didn't believe. He said, well, you know, there are some that make this argument, but he really doesn't believe that. The Son is God. And then he goes on, the Son that's God calls the Father his God in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 9. And on one hand, Mr. Weatherly denies that only a human prayed, suffered, and died. And at the same time, he denies that God prayed, suffered, and died. 228, I asked you six questions yesterday, Mr. Weatherly. I asked you who died on the cross, went unanswered. Is the Son Jehovah? Who is the I in John 16:7 specifically? I said, don't just tell me Jesus is a human nature, divine nature. You got up and said Jesus. By the way, you said this I is Jesus. Well, that's the one that prayed in John 14:26. Therefore, Jesus is only human. I ask you, who is the me in Matthew 27:46? You answered an argument I did not make, and then you turned around and refused to answer the argument that I did make. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Don't tell me is just breath. Like you did over there in Luke 23:46. All right. Hold my time. Can I? find something here. There we are. How much time, John? Okay. All right. I want to go back and talk about John 17:5 because it negates even the proposition of the evening. Jesus says, "Restore unto me the glory that I had with thee before the world was." Restore unto me the glory that I had with thee before the world was. Mr. Weatherly used John 12:23 to say that the glory of John 17:5 merely referred to the crucifixion. Ladies and gentlemen, the glorification of chapter 12 and verse 23 of John and 17:1 is the consequence of Christ's obedience to His Father. That is His exaltation in heaven. He had to go through the cross to get there. Now, last night we emphasized the distinctions and how the term glory... Am I hearing something? We emphasized the distinctions. I don't know if it's me or the microphone. Oh, it's thundering. Okay. We emphasized the fact that verses 22 and 23 was a glory that Christ could give because He had it, but the glory of 17:5 was a glory that He did not have. He had given up. It was heavenly glory and asked for it to be restored. Mr. Weatherly went to verse 24, but he didn't deal with verses 22 and 23. I want to turn over to Hebrews 5. Now, he put a similar chart up today. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7. And he had over here, this is what God does, and this is what the Son does. And his point was, the Son is just the humanity of Jesus. Now that was his point. As we look at Hebrews, the 5th chapter, I want to ask some more questions. Hebrews chapter 5. Can you hold my time? Okay, that's all right. Now we want to make clear who the Son is and who suffered and who died. That's why this issue is important. That's why this matters. Who suffered? Who died? Who prayed? He has told us God did not do any of those things. God didn't condescend. God didn't humble Himself. Here we are in Hebrews chapter 5. And notice with me verse 7. Who in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears. I know He was in His flesh. But the question is the who. Look there at verse 7. The who in the days of His flesh. Now, we need to be clear about what the Oneness Pentecostal Church International teaches about who the Son of God is. Put that quote back up. This is David K. Bernard, and that's exactly what Mr. Weatherly is telling you tonight. The Bible defines the Son of God as the child born of Mary, not as the eternal Spirit of God. He does not believe the Son is God. Now, that's the truth of what he is saying. Has only a human been perfected? Mr. Weatherly likes to talk about fruit, but his foot's on a banana peel right now. Mr. Weatherly continues to assert that God cannot do what the Bible says He did. He denies the omnipotence of God. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5. We were there. Remember, we were talking about thou and me and the distinction here. Mr. Weatherly's argument was that the me is the plan that became human nature only, and that proves that he thinks only a human died. And he misused my answer to a question to pervert Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5. And he went over to Luke 12:19 and he said, I will say to my soul, but see, Mr. Weatherly, that's not what you have in Hebrews 10 and verse 5. What you have is thou and me. Now, I had a teacher who banged away. I'm not a professional grammarian, but Miss Llewellyn was my fourth grade teacher. And she explained that things have to agree. What you have to find is you and me. That's you and me. Not I will say to my, I and mine match up, but not you and me. Number 58. Now, Mr. Weatherly has talked about Luke 23:46, and he said in Luke 23:46, this was the life principle that was atoning the sins of the world. Friends, how's that any different than an animal sacrifice which cannot redeem the sins of the world? Now, Mr. Weatherly, we need you to be straight with us about who died and who suffered. Is that a human spirit in a human body? Is it the life principle of breath? What is it? Now, you've got to be straight with us and give us a straightforward answer and quit giving us different answers to the same question. Who died? Was only a human crucified? Was it a body without a spirit? And we've asked about Matthew 27 and verse 46. And you wanted to talk about Calvinism. Well, let me tell you. You're not putting God in a different light than Calvinism is. You don't have a real incarnation. That Son that was created, I guess a human spirit and a human body, the Father took Him, pulled Him along. He couldn't have even resisted. Our Savior was irresistibly possessed and murdered and could not have resisted had He wanted to. How is that the sacrifice that we read of in the Bible? The Son is just a puppet, according to your doctrine, on divine life support. That's not an incarnation. Now, what's the difference, and I'd like to know, what's the difference in your view of Christ and your view of every believer who has the Holy Spirit dwelling in him? What is the difference? Now, you had a quote from Brother Jeff Asher that you read. And to be fair, I don't think you understood him. His point was not to support your position, of course. His point is that the form of God is not the essential, unalterable essence of God any more than the form of a servant was something Jesus eternally had, much like M.R. Vinson says. You've got two forms at the same time. The form of God was an unapproachable lie. Jesus gave that up and came here as God in the flesh and suffered as a form of a servant. And you brought up that bottle of water. You know, you brought up that bottle of water as you were accusing me of not believing the Father is God. And Mr. Weatherly, you still had that bottle when you got done talking about pouring all that water out of it, which would destroy the very point you were trying to make. Mr. Weatherly, using a bottle of water, ladies and gentlemen, to illustrate the nature of God is absolutely absurd. He wants to use a flawed illustration and then blame me for the consequences of his illustration. I will tell you, God can limit himself and still be God. He did so on the seventh day when he rested, and Mr. Weatherly thinks he did so when he limited his knowledge in the Old Testament. And then there's Philippians 2, which also disproves what he's affirming this evening on that phrase, equal with God. Now I want you to turn over to Mark 14. Mr. Weatherly, let me show you something. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to see it. Mark chapter 14. I guess that's chart. Yeah, you're quicker than I am, quite obviously. We were talking about the word equal. And Mr. Weatherly's position is it means identical. That it doesn't mean distinction of persons in Philippians 2:6. And we showed you all those places where isos is used in a way where equal has to be more than one. And this is pre-incarnate in verse 6. And we turned, one of the examples was Mark 14, 56 and 57. And in Mark 14, he was saying that this really doesn't show distinction, and that's kind of a hard idea to follow. He says, well, there's just one testimony, but look at how many witnesses that are. That was the point. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together, and there arose certain and bear false witness against him, saying, now go down with me in the context. Verse 63, then the high priest rent his clothes and saith, what need we have of any further witnesses? And go back up to 56 and 57. Many were bearing false witness, which proves our point that we have the pre-incarnate Christ being equal with God, which disproves, in his pre-incarnate state, which disproves his one person, the Godhead idea. And the other example was in Acts 11, and he said, see, it's the same gift. It's the same gift. And we're showing distinction in persons. Well, here's the thing. Cornelius ain't the apostles. There were two occurrences. That was the point. When he says they received the same gift like as unto us, his point is you have Pentecost and you have Acts 10, and those are two occurrences, and that's why that term isos is used. And so the dodges that are so abundant, quite obviously, are not legitimate. And we've shown you that some of his arguments tonight, his viewpoint. We look at John 16:13, and when he goes over there and tells you about the one that was with him and would be in them, both of those phrases refer to the Holy Spirit. He's trying to squeeze Jesus into that. And John 16:13 is still sitting there. And I mean this in love. And I know we've been firm with each other tonight, but I mean this in love. But when you teach the Son is only human, and you go to Hebrews 10, you have only a human on the cross. He even showed you that tonight. As He talked about these natures, He's saying the totality of the Son is not that the Son is God and man distinct from the Father. He's saying the Son is only human. Now here's what He told us. He said this last night. He said, I never said the Son is only human. But then He turned around and said this. He said the Son dies on the cross. God didn't die. If the Son of God died, suffered, and prayed, and God didn't die, suffer, and pray, then the Son is only human. And that's the problem with this teaching. Think about it.